Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Mangalore Chemicals and Fertilizers Limited and SKP Securities, it is my pleasure to welcome you to MCFL's Q4 and FY22 earnings webinar. All participant lines are in the mute mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the management's opening remarks. Please note this virtual meeting is being recorded for compliance reasons. We have with us Mr. Suprabhata Saha, Managing Director, and Mr. Muralitharan, Chief Financial Officer. You'll have the opening remarks from Mr. Saha, followed by Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Naveen, and good afternoon to all. We will begin with a short overview of the business environment, followed by the company performance presentation, and then open it up for the Q&A session. To begin with, let me just say that two key themes emerged globally during and in the phase during the recovery post-COVID. The first one being supply chain disruption, and of course, the global efforts at rebalancing the same. However, the efforts, albeit, have been slow. The second, very clearly, is the element of rising inflationary pressures, and somewhere we also see an element of protectionism. To come to specifics, the global supply chain has been impacted due to the Russia-Ukraine war. Russia and Ukraine account for about 30% of the global wheat exports. As we know, the world supplies of wheat are likely to be impacted by the war, leading to further increases of food prices across the globe. And this naturally poses a threat to food security in specific geographies. In the last couple of years, we have witnessed an increasing trend in global prices and demand for corn, wheat, and soya, particularly in Latin America. In fact, Russia and Ukraine together account for about 18% of the global corn trade. Global energy supplies are at risk with the Russia-Ukraine war and the sanctions thereof. Russia supplies about 10% of the world's energy needs, with around 12% of oil and a whopping 17% of the natural gas. Russia, Belarus, and Ukraine are leading exporters of fertilizers. Russia accounts for about 22% of ammonia, about 14% of urea, and 11% of phosphates in the past. The impacts of sanctions are furthering supply shortages and obviously the RM price increases. High global crude oil prices have resulted in higher shipping and insurance costs as well. We are living through a commodity super cycle in all fertilizer raw material prices or raw materials such as ammonia, phosphoric acid, potash, and even sulfuric acid, which has seen a very sharp price spiral. Let me now turn to India and its agriculture scenario. The normal monsoons in F22 made it to three consecutive years of good monsoons. We hear that we're likely to have a fourth one as well. The reservoir levels data for key 140 reservoirs as at April end was at 128% of the last 10 years average. Supported by the above, India witnessed higher Kharif and Rabi sowing. As per the second advanced estimates for F22, the food grain production in the country is estimated to be at a record of 316.06 million tons, which is likely to be higher by 5.2 million metric tons than the F21 food grain production. Agriculture and the allied sector proved to be the most resilient to the COVID-19 shock as it registered a 3.9% growth in F22 and an improvement over the 3.6% growth that was registered in F21. This obviously will have some impact in enabling the India's real GDP expansion in F22. As far as fertilizers is concerned, India imports about 60% of phosphates. Strong domestic demand coupled with global non-availability led to lower inventory levels. Government of India intervened twice last year to insulate farmers from global shocks. GOI has continued to disburse subsidy on time, enabling domestic manufacturers to manage their working capital despite the steep rise in RM costs. The DAP requirements, the government had announced a special package. In Q4, the primary sales volumes of DAP plus complexes together was down by about 26% at 28 lakh metric tons. For the fiscal, it was down 15% to about 186 lakhs metric tons. The government announced the new Kharif NBS rates applicable up to 30th of September from the 1st of April, with the cabinet approved subsidy outlay for Kharif at about 60,939.23 crore. because of changing agri landscape, consumer preference trends, digital proliferation, increased mechanization, participation of the startup ecosystem, etc., key drivers in enabling the transformation of Indian agriculture. The farm input segment continues to contribute effectively to the improvement of soil health management through balanced nutrition. The developments in superior product technologies, the advent of precision farming, better water management alongside integrated crop management, sustainable and climate-resistant farming practices will augur well for the future of Indian agriculture and the lives and livelihoods of those who depend on it. At this stage, I will request Mr. Muralidharan to take us through the company performance, and we can come back for the Q&A session post that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon to everyone. Is my screen is visible to everybody?
Yes, it is, Mr. Muralidharan.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Despite the uncertain business environment impacted by the COVID-19 interruptions, geopolitical uncertainty, supply chain constraints and disruptions, and firm raw material scenario, as briefed by my MD, MCFL has endeavored to sustain the operations in the best possible manner in the financial year 2021-22. The highlights for the quarter and the financial year ended March 2022, we give some salient features. We have completed first full year of operations of urea production on gas, which is uninterrupted. As earlier briefed in the earlier investor meetings, we received the supply of gas in December 2020 from GAIL. From there on, we have continuously produced urea. From December 2020, we continued into April 2021 current financial year up to March 2022. It is one of the very important milestone we achieved during this journey. We have achieved a production of 429,000 tons during financial year 2022, which is a record for MCFL. Continuing on the same urea, we have achieved financial closure for the ammonia energy improvement project, which we are undertaken. We achieved financial closure during the financial year 2022, and the progress of the project is in full swing. We plan to take the shutdown somewhere in the first week of June, and after commissioning for about two months period, we'll come back to the production in urea post the energy improvement project in August 2022. In respect of our other operations of complex manufacturing, we have sustained the operations with the support received from Government of India to manage the prices which have skyrocketed during the journey of 2021-22. And we are unable to see a finality into the rate, to the pace at which these prices are going up. We are hopeful that during the current financial year FY23, some stability can establish in the prices of raw materials and the traded goods. Another feature during the financial year is the liquidity was healthy during the year, with small what we call bunching up of the payments happened in the last quarter of current financial year. Nevertheless, government released all the subsidies due to us, okay, as a process. So this also assisted the company to achieve lower financial cost compared to the earlier years. These are the key features we take away from this operations for the year. We move on to specific performance. Revenue from operations. MCFL registered a revenue growth of 20% during the quarter and 33% during the year, driven by commodity price and modest volume growth. Coming to EBITDA, we have registered modest growth of 1% despite pressure on margins due to spiraling commodity prices. Coming to profit after tax. We've registered a growth of 33% during the year, primarily on account of reduced finance cost and favorable cost of finance available during the year, with pressure coming going forward with the action taken by RBI in pricing of the repo rates. The cash profit for the year registered a growth of 33%, again, primarily on account of better operations and reduced finance cost. Moving to production sales product-wise, as I briefed the earlier, during the current financial year, we have produced the highest production of 4.29 lakh tons of urea, highest for MCFL. This is in excess of the reassess capacity of 3.8 lakh tons, which we are permitted to produce. Since we have got the gas into the December 2020, and as per the policy guidelines, we are eligible to produce beyond RAC, that is reassess capacity. We produced beyond 3.8 lakh tons during the current financial year at 4.29 lakh tons. And sales also was higher at 4.31 lakh tons. The higher sales is possible on account of the opening inventory we carry. And during the quarter, we have produced 1.12 lakh tons compared to 1.15 lakh tons we produced in FY21. Coming to the PNK fertilizers, we have sold 2.66 lakh tons as against 3,40,000 tons last year. The reason for the small drop is we have carried inventory of DAP of 20,000 tons at end of the FY22. Coming to revenue from operations, the revenue from urea is ₹1,653 crores as against 915 crores of last year. This growth is driven primarily on account of price and also the increase in the volume we manufactured and sold. Coming to the revenue from non-urea business, we have posted the growth. The revenue is at 1,243 crores as against 1,229 crores of last year. Now we look at the financial position. Coming to the shareholders' funds, the accretion to net worth is 77 crores, which is primarily the PAT for FY22, netting of the dividend we declared for last FY21, which was paid during financial FY22. Coming to the debt, long-term debt, there is an increase of 91 crores. This is primarily on account of the loan we availed for the energy improvement project, which we are undertaken, which will be executing in the current financial FY23. After taking the repayment of some of the existing loans, the net increase is 91 crores. Coming to the short-term debt, there was an increase of 388 crores. This is two factors, this increase. One is on account of higher revenue we have posted current financial year compared to the last financial year. And another second factor is the bunched up payments of the subsidies by the Government of India to manage the requirements of cash. We have resorted to some short-term borrowings, which is quite often the Q1 of FY23. The short-term surplus increase is 155 crores from 402 crores to 557 crores. This is primarily on account of the subsidy disbursement in the last week of March. In both the years, FY21 and FY22, the government disbursed in the last quarter of respective financial years. As a matter of fact, we have received 806 crores during the Q4 FY22, and similar amount of 809 crores we received in FY21. Coming to receivables, the receivables we have, normally we carry the books and market debtors, which we receive from the dealers. Other one is dues from the government, which is described as subsidy debtors. The market debtors, there is a reduction of 96 crores purely on account of higher liquidity in the market due to the demand and shortage of materials at the right time. That led to the improved liquidity, and we were able to decrease the receivables from 184 crores to 88 crores. Coming to the subsidy, it may look to be an it may appear to be an increase from 325 crores to 577 crores. The basic reason for the increase is for the RUD operations, the escalation in the gas price for Q3, Q4 is not notified. The moment that is notified, either in the form of separate escalation or for annual escalation for current financial year, we will be able to receive this money, realize the money. And there is no challenge in this because government is committed to continued disbursement at the right, what you call, amounts agreed. Okay. We don't foresee any challenge in this. We move on to the past, some past annual performance to get a clarity. The revenue from operations has been 3,000 crores to levels to we in FY19. Okay. This has been almost range bound, the 3,000 crores to 2,100 crores the last 4 years. Coming to EBITDA, you could see from the levels of 200 crores FY19, we are able to grow from the levels of FY19 to the levels of 235 crores as of this current financial year of FY22. Coming to PBT, from the levels of 50 crores, we improved to the current levels of 135 crores. Coming to PAT, similarly, we will improve from 33 crores in FY19 to 88 crores in current financial year FY22. Cash profit has improved from 72 crores in FY19 to 138 crores in FY22. EPS per share has improved from 3 rupees to 7 rupees in FY22 from FY19. You could see the receivables has come down from the levels of 1,564 crores in FY19 to the current levels of 665 crores. This is due to improved liquidity in the market, as I briefed earlier, and fiscal stimulus given in FY21 to clear our subsidy arrears, and continued additional support given in FY22 by the Government of India. This is the overview of MCFL operations in the territories where we operate. The plant is situated at Mangalore at the west coast, opposite Mangalore port. And our crushing capacity is 3.8 lakh tons in urea. DAP and complex, we can manufacture 2.8 lakh tons. Okay. And we also do trading of in MOP and DAP based on opportunity, based on the availability of materials. The territories where we operate in marketing, Karnataka 7%, 7% we operate, but our market share, and 4% in Kerala, Tamil Nadu 9%, Andhra Pradesh 8%, Telangana 4%, Maharashtra 4%. We operate under the, we sell under the brand called JKS Mangala. This could be the slide for the first time investors who are coming participating in this particular program. And we thought we can, since the one significant event is going to happen this current financial year, which will be interest to the investors, we thought we can show some photographs of the energy, ammonia energy improvement project, which we are executing in Mangalore, some photographs to get a perception of this particular project, what we are currently undertaking. This is Syngas synthetic gas compressor building column being erected. This is compressor house pipe rack erection, which has been under the process. This erection of Syngas compressor turbine surface condenser. This could be more technical. Okay. Erection of Syngas compressor. CO2 stripper area structural work. Erection of add-on converter, ammonia converter internal removals from transportation shed, new cooling water pipe pump erection, vessel V5309 loading on trailer at Praj Industries Kandla. Completed CO2 stripper at Praj Kandla for transportation. The transportation vessels from Praj works to Kandla port. Double pipe heat exchanger fabrication at Coimbatore. Combustion air preheated dispatch from Kelvion Pune. Transformers dispatch from LNT Hazira Works. Underground cooling water main header fabrication and laying, PSG nitrogen unit. just get some flavor of the progress of the project. Okay. We thought we can share to the our investor community. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Muralidharan. Mr. Saha, can we open the floor for Q&A?
Yeah, please.
Friends, anyone who wishes to ask a question, request you to raise your hand and we'll unmute you and take your question. And a small request, if you can introduce yourself before you ask a question. Thank you. The first question is from Simran. Simran, please go ahead. Please unmute yourself and go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, I'm audible.
Yes, you are, Simran, please.
Okay. Sir, I have, two, three questions. First of all, how the company is planning to bring down its borrowings in the future? First question is that. Second is EBITDA margin guidance, if you can provide any. Third is that is the worst over for the higher input prices in the future? And the last is that how the company is going to utilize its cash and bank balance, which is showing in the balance sheet in a very good pace. Can you answer these questions?
Yeah.
Sure. Murli, why don't you take the borrowings, cash and bank balances, and I'll take the input prices.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir. The borrowings, what we have, there are two components. One is the short-term borrowings, which is for pure working capital. That'll get turned around as the working capital cycle moves on. Okay. I would rather more specifically, I'll address the question on the long-term debt. We are currently carrying 290 crores of long-term debt, some existing long-term debt for working capital term loan, and some are borrowed already for the energy project we are doing. Going forward in FY23, we will be drawing further some more money, and it will be end of Q1, we'll be having around 450 crores of long-term debt. And we'll progressively repay these loans as we commission the project and realize the benefits. And to give some numbers, as per the agreed repayment schedule with the banks, every year we'll be paying about 70 crores. So considerable amount of money will come down in 3 years' time by FY25. From 450 crore levels, we'll come down to 230 crore levels, and remaining amounts will be paid as gradually. Okay, so this is our plan, and the cash flows, the long-term cash flows are in place intact to address these long-term obligations for repayment. That is the first questions. The other, I will go back to the cash and bank borrowings. These are all temporary surpluses you see, and immediately these things are applied for based on this, our obligations on to the bank borrowings. We keep our timing the maturities. These are all specific year-end numbers you see, okay? And they are not the position throughout the year. They are all because the government, what you call the last quarter, and also especially in the March every year, they clear these arrears up to the first week of March and DBT bills. So we end up in getting these monies only last week. So we could not do any planning because the cash flows are very not structured unless we get the assured disbursement advice. So these are very temporary. Okay. And we will we are addressing this on a very professionally so that we are taking care of this advances, the balances to return our obligations.
Done.
To you, sir.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Simran, to answer the input price and when it will cool off, I think it's very difficult to make a very clear guess in terms of timing. There are two, three facets that one must remember. I think the balance availability of finished goods, especially the phosphates, particularly Russia, China, etc. And once the supplies from there start emerging, there could be some kind of indication that we would get. That's point number one. Point number two is with those countries supplying, there is an implicit impact on the raw material prices, particularly phosphoric acid. I think these are two factors to keep in mind. The timing of it is difficult to say. We've been through a commodity super cycle, and as you know, that commodities won't last forever as far as pricing is concerned. So I'm sure at some stage we will see some positive developments happening. Timing, very difficult to ascertain. But clearly we do see some supplies opening up from China and Russia and a few other countries in terms of the availability of the phosphatics. As far as ammonia, et cetera, is concerned, I think it will also follow suit as time goes ahead.
Okay. Okay. Done, sir. Thank you. Thank you for your kind response. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
We have a question from Aditya Jhawar. Aditya, please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for the opportunity. I wanted to understand on the ammonia plant, which is getting right. What is the incremental revenue or what are the things we are doing in the ammonia plant and how does it help in the future? I want to understand on the ammonia thing.
Okay, I'll give you a very quick overview of what the, this is an ammonia energy improvement program, right? So the ammonia energy improvement program helps to reduce the consumption of energy in ammonia, which is the largest consumer of energy in a urea plant. Now, as it comes down, our energy levels in terms of Gcal per ton will reduce from 6.25 currently to about 5.5. And the difference between the category in which we are in, which is a 7.356 Gcal per metric ton versus the 5.5 will be the gain that we will get, which will give us an EBITDA kicker, right?
Correct.
It will also help us to increase the quantum of ammonia that is produced. From where we are to where we will likely get to. Now, that can be used, therefore, in multiple sources, including manufacture of our fertilizers, trading, etc.
Okay. Okay. So, how much EBITDA it will be flowing into once we come from 7 to, I think it is very marginal, right? 5 point something.
Only can you take the number?
Mr. Muralidharan, you need to unmute yourself, please.
I'm sorry. Okay. This energy improvement project, which we are executing, as technically explained by Mr. Our MD, the EBITDA, there'll be growth of 100 crores per annum. Okay. And there'll be cost of servicing our borrowing program for this. Okay.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Aditya. Anyone wishing to ask a question, request you to please raise your hand and we'll take it up. So there's a question from one of the participants. Nilay Dalal. Nilay, please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear us?
Yes, Nilay, yes. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sir, I wanted to understand the business, the fertilizer business is primarily that whenever there is a cost escalation of the raw material, it is primarily a pass-through, correct? So the margins should have remained stable, correct? The EBITDA per ton should have remained stable in spite of the cost escalation, the raw material cost escalation. So why has there been a kind of some dip in the EBITDA numbers? That was the first question. And the second question was, did you mention that the plant will remain shut down from June to August for the energy efficiency project in order to bring that project on stream?
Nilay, your answer to the second question is correct. We will have to take a shutdown for the commissioning of the ammonia energy improvement program. And we believe as a fallout of that, the urea that will be produced will be up to the RSC level, which is 379,500, unlike the 429,000 that we did last year.
Okay, so this will be for the full year, correct? Means in spite of
that will be a full year. That despite the 60-day kind of a shutdown, we will still be in a position to produce 379,500 and also get a certain quantity of ammonia, which is an outcome of the program that we are putting up.
So that ammonia will be selling, sir, or is there a plan for once, that once, already once, in place?
once we commission that, there is an obvious opportunity to use that ammonia and DAP and also to do trading. So we will come to it when we get to it.
Okay. And can you answer the first question, sir, on the cost escalation for Q4?
Muli, if you can help coming from the context of Q4 and then the overall EBITDA numbers, please.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Mr. Dalal, in Q4, the EBITDA was lower compared to the earlier quarters and last year, same comparisons. The basic reason is we have produced complex fertilizers based on commitments given by the government of India, and we are waiting for some support for that. We are unable to quantify the support which we'll get, and in the absence of that, what we call the EBITDA is low, number one. That is on the complex. Other one is on the urea piece. As I briefed you during my presentation, we have produced beyond RAC at 429,000 tons compared to 3.8 lakh tons. And this particular additional production of that 50,000 tons we manufactured during the current financial year Q4. And this additional production, what we make, it comes with a very lower, what we call margins, okay, compared to the margins we get for up to reassess capacity. So these two reasons for this, what I call subdued EBITDA, is only cyclical in nature based on the quarter on quarter or year on year basis. So otherwise, your understanding of the cost recovery in respect of urea, that any cost increase is a full pass through as per the extant policy guidelines of Government of India.
No, so what you're trying to say, sir, is that then there is a disincentive to produce more?
No, not like that. The benefit what we get is low, okay? That's all. We still make a margins, not to the level at which we get up to the RAC levels, okay? There is no disincentive, definitely. Government has been very supportive to the entire industry to maximize the domestic production, and the commitment to the government of India in all various quarters where we hear, they are committed to this industry and ensure that capacity is fully utilized to the maximum.
Okay. Sir, can you give me for Q4, specifically only for Q4, for urea and for DAP, what was the EBITDA per ton?
One second. The EBITDA per ton in Q4 for urea is about 2,000 rupees.
And for DAP?
DAP, we just break even.
Okay, that is because that you have not recognized that
income. Okay, that the support which is not known to us. Okay.
Okay. And for Q3 also, can you share, sir, for urea and DAP? That is for the December quarter.
Sorry, can I come back to you?
Okay. Sure, no problem.
No problem, sir. But okay, so when this energy efficiency project comes on stream, what will be the EBITDA per ton, say, from Q2 onwards for urea and DAP?
Again, repeat your question, Mr. Dalal.
Yeah. So what I'm asking, sir, is that after the ammonia energy efficiency project comes on stream, say somewhere in August, what will be the EBITDA per ton for urea and DAP? You said there will be a kicker of 100 crores, but if I want to break it down to per ton, how will it be?
One second. We get about 2,500 rupees per ton.
Sorry?
2,500 rupees per ton. 2,500 rupees per ton.
Okay, so 2,000 becomes 2,500 rupees per ton.
Yes.
And for DAP, sir?
The benefits of the energy improvement project will not come in.
Correct. Only it's only for urea. Okay. Okay. Sir, just to broadly understand, while the kicker will be of 100 odd crores, the additional borrowing also goes up by 200 crores, correct? The long term borrowings?
It's broken by 320 crores. Okay.
Sorry?
320 crores. 320 crores.
Okay. Incremental?
Yes.
So the net benefit to us would be, say, 70 odd crores. Is that the right assumption?
No, 50 crores would be the net. 50 crores. At the PPT level, be 50 crores.
Oh, okay. Maybe because of the additional depreciation?
Correct. Depreciation and the finance cost. Both will add up to this. Okay, sir.
Okay. If I have any questions, I'll come back.
Welcome.
Thank you, Nilay. Friends, anyone with a question, requested you please raise your hand and we'll take it up. So Murli, can I just read out a couple of questions we have from our participants?
Yeah.
What is the average gas price for FY22? And what is the reason for higher other costs? Is it because of the transportation and power? This is from Sayali Raut.
Okay. The average cost of gas, which is expressed in dollar terms per MMBTU, is about $14.5 throughout the year. Okay. Can you repeat second question? I couldn't follow.
I will. What is the reason for the higher other costs? Is it because of the transportation and power?
Yeah. I think my question is made answer easy by the question itself. It is on account of higher power costs, which we use in the power and fuel in the operations.
Okay. Another question is, what is the current GCAL per ton? I think that was answered by Mr. Saha earlier. What is the GCAL per ton, Mr. Murli?
GCAL per ton, which we achieved for FY22, is 6.35 GCAL per ton.
Okay. And what is our electricity consumption per unit of urea for FY22?
See, this is what we express. We don't express in terms of electricity. We express only in the gigacalories, which is 6.35. Okay. The question is nothing but same. It is the question I asked. Okay.
Right. Okay. Sayali, I hope your questions have been answered. In case not, request you to please raise your hand and we can take it up further. There's a question from Pradeep from POSCO Capital Partners. How much effect is the Ukraine-Russia disturbance been on the output? And how do you envisage further spikes in oil prices?
Can I request my
MD? Yeah, we'll just wait for Mr. Saha to get up the call and maybe we'll request him.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So I think there are a couple of things to remember here. There's obviously a risk on global energy supplies. One must understand that Russia supplies 10% of the world's energy needs and about 12% of oil and 17% of the natural gas. Clearly, there is a challenge at a global level. Having said that, I think the contracts that we have signed protect us to a fairly large extent because they happen to be largely with countries other than Russia per se. So to that extent, I think we are by and large protected from that at this point in time. As far as the availability of phosphates is concerned, availability of urea is concerned, availability of potash is concerned, clearly the global supplies have been affected because Russia is also one of the largest suppliers of some of this. In fact, Russia accounted for about 22% of ammonia, 14% of urea, and 11% of phosphates. And Belarus has been one of the largest suppliers of potash in the world. Now, obviously, potash availability in the country has been significantly reduced. And as you would see, we bought in potash only once in the whole year last year, that is in the first quarter. We haven't had a chance thereafter. The prices have also risen, plus also non-availability and the sanctions on Belarus. So I think some of these facets have deeply impacted the business in terms of the availability of finished goods. Coming to the availability of phosphoric acid and the prices and so on and so forth, there are multiple factors that have led to the increase in prices. I hope, as I mentioned in some of the earlier conversations, responding to one of the questions, I'm hoping that with supplies of finished goods coming into play, particularly in DAP and some complexes, hopefully the finished good prices will rise and that will have an implicit impact on the raw material prices. As far as oil prices are concerned, it's anybody's guess at this point in time which way it would move. I only hope it cools down over a period of time.
Pradeep, I hope your questions have been answered. We have a few more questions, so if I can just read them out. Amitabh Chakrabarty wants to know what was the gas cost. I think Mr. Murli just told us it was about $14.5. Mr. Murli?
You're right.
Yeah. Okay. Another one from Worship Shah. Post energy improvement, what is the plan for further growth?
Yeah, I'll take it up.
Increase in DAP or NPK capacities?
That's a good question. Clearly, directionally, first of all, we want to ensure the successful commissioning of the ammonia energy improvement program. And as Murli has alluded to earlier, there is a plan for making sure that through the kicker that we get, we A, reduce the debt load that is on us right now. The second is look at backward integration and thereafter the growth opportunities. In the past, I have mentioned about the need for us to look at some opportunities in backward integration, whether it's sulfuric acid or otherwise, or addition of capacities to store more phosphoric acid. Once we do these things, then the next aspect would be logically increase in the DAP NPK capacities. I think we are still some distance away from getting there.
Worship, I hope your question has been answered. There's a question on the CAPEX. The CAPEX on the ammonia project, is it approximately 320 crores? And what is the percent increase and what is the expected percent increase in production of ammonia?
The expected additional production of ammonia would be to about 880 from a current base of, I think, close to about 700 tons per day. So I think that should help in generating additional ammonia, which can be used both for, as I mentioned earlier also, for the purpose of use in DAP manufacture as well as in trading. Murli, you want to take anything in CAPEX? I think you've already answered that question earlier.
Yes. The 320 crores is the borrowing for the CAPEX.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. One more question from the same person. The derecognition of subsidy income of 2,686 million. I'll just read it slowly because there are a lot of numbers in this, which is the difference in energy saving from 6.35 to 5.5 gcal per metric ton, plus additional production beyond rated capacity. As per the policy notified earlier, you could retain the energy benefit. So, is there a change in the incentive sharing?
So, I will answer this question.
Sure.
I think the reference is this particular question is from the audited financials published yesterday, which I have been carrying from the FY21 as well. This is the 27 crores, that is 2,686 millions.
Yes.
Of the, I think our number is not correct. Okay. This is the amount what we are eligible under as per the energy norm, which was not extended to us. Okay. So this has been provisioned by management books of account. It is no more what I call a we are as a receivable or income recognition in the books of account. This matter, close matter, we are contesting the government of India. If we get a positive, reply, we will recognize the income as and when we get the decision out favor.
I hope the questions have been answered. Friends, request you to raise your hands and come on the Q&A floor, because at times when I read the question, maybe I'm not able to convey the exact question that you want to ask. Okay, we have a question from Vineet Agarwal. Vineet, please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just wanted to ask, before FY22, the manufacturing ratio of P and K between DAP and NP was roughly about 48, 50 or 50 to 50, which has been heavily tilted towards NP in FY22, roughly around 30-70. And that is, if I'm not wrong, because of rise in ammonia and other costs. So what will be the strategy now for FY23 after the government has increased the subsidy? Will we return to the old ratio, or this will be our new normal? Hello?
Yeah, Vinny, just one second, please. Vineet, if you could just repeat the questions piece by piece, because there were a number of questions, I think.
I think what I understood Vineet saying, yeah, go ahead, Vineet.
Sir, I just wanted to ask that...
ratio between DAP, NPK and F23 vis-a-vis the past.
Can you please repeat?
You wanted to check the ratio of DAP, NPK in FY23 versus the ratios in the past and the changeovers that have happened, which is a fallout of ammonia and phosphoric acid prices, as you mentioned correctly.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think it makes commercial sense for us to produce N20 at this point in time, and we'll keep evaluating based on the raw material prices as we go forward.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Vineet. Okay, we have a follow-up question from Nilay. Nilay, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for taking us again. Sir, we have a repeat question on ammonia. Just wanted to get better clarity. We said that the post energy efficiency project, the production of ammonia goes up from 700 tons per day to 880 tons per day. That's correct?
That is right.
And this entire 180 is available for trading or maybe for DAP manufacturing. Is that correct?
That is right.
Okay, so sir, broadly speaking, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a very broad calculation. Does, say, assuming a ton of ammonia maybe sells at 60,000-70,000 rupees, the current prices might be very high, but I'm saying average. So does the additional ammonia per day, say 180 tons per day, can it generate anywhere between 250 to 300 crores top line?
Nilay, I don't want to speculate at this point in time. It's a commodity business. We will come to it when we get down to that level in terms of both availability as well as the opportunities that arise thereof. Anything is possible in this trade, as you are aware. It depends upon the price, the market conditions, and so on and so forth. I wouldn't want to speculate on numbers right now.
No, I appreciate that. But sir, is the thought process correct?
Yeah, your thought process is right. Then that is, you're assuming 100% trading, which we don't know at this point in time whether it'll be feasible or not.
Fair enough. Well, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Nilay. Friends, anyone with a question, may please raise your hands and we'll take it up. Okay, follow-up question from Worship Shah. Worship, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So the additional capacity for ammonia comes on stream. I understand it's available for trading and the production and take a call then. But by regulation, are we supposed to necessarily produce, or will we come to know that later once it closes?
I'm not clear about the question, Varship. You're talking about...
the additional ammonia.
Yeah,
so basically, because the government obviously would not want a shortage of fertilizer in the country for any. So can we trade that, or do we necessarily have to produce urea?
I think the answer lies in the question itself. I think if it comes down to serving the interests of Indian farmers and the government's interests, I think some of which will become paramount if we come down to that end. Right. Yeah. We don't know at this point in time what will be the scenario by the time we start generating. Things are changing, right? So we don't know in what kind of an environment we'll be living in. As you rightly pointed out, maybe earlier also, about this whole facet of the government's need for supporting the Rabi produce. And the support that they provided to the DAP business at this point in time, or purported DAP support, we don't know what is going to happen. So those are policy decisions, and we will come to it when we get down to that level.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Worship. Friends, anyone with a question, please raise your hand. We have a question from Kenil Mehta. Kenil, please go ahead.
How does one calculate the saving amount for GCal per MT in our urea plant? Is there any fitted formula for by government based on which we get the benefits of 100 crore?
Murli, can you explain the calculation? It's an easy one, but Murli, can you just do the numbers, the math for 100? It's broadly 100, so...
The calculations are very detailed and laborious as per the government regulations. And whatever reduction we are able to achieve from the 6.35 GCal per ton current levels to 5.5, which we achieve on the delta, whatever there is a calculation of what is the cost which we are buying, and there is an element of an filtration of some of the cost which is not reimbursed. It's a very detailed process. We quantify those things and come at the levels of 100 crores per annum based on some assumed levels of feedstock prices. It goes up and comes down as the prices of feedstock also will change. Okay. It's a very detailed, cumbersome process of calculations. If you want to take you through, I can take you through offline.
Okay, sure, sir. I had done, sir, some rough calculations. So if our pre norms was 6.35 and we go to 5.25 GCal per MT. So total GCal save per MT will be 1.10, and total KWH save will be 1278. So if we multiply that 1278 K kilowatt hours into 6 rupees per cost unit per MT, total saving for a urea production will be approximately 290 crores.
As I answered you earlier, we will take you through this computation offline, because the calculation cannot be explained. So very detailed calculations which will explain to you offline.
Okay, sure, sir. And sir, out of our total borrowing, only approximately 210 crores will be our long-term debt, and the rest of them will be short-term debt, which will be used for working capital.
Ms. Mehta, I couldn't follow you. Can you again?
So out of our total debt, approximately 200 crores is long-term debt and rest is the short-term debt for working capital.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. Any future plans after decreasing this debt for capacity expansion or something? Because from what I see, we are already operating at a maximum level for most of our important products like ammonia or urea and DAP.
Yeah, I'll take that question. Thanks, Kenil, for the question. You're absolutely right that I think the energy improvement program was a very critical part of the overall cost structure of the urea plant, which is a legacy urea plant, which comes under the regime of 7.356 GCal per metric ton. Once we have got that in place, I think the urea issue is out of our way, and we will definitely look at the possibility of backward integration, creation of capacities. Now, backward integration could be in the case of sulfuric acid, and obviously it behoves for us to look at opportunity in both manufacturing as well as trading. We are missing the fact that trading can be a very important opportunity as prices cool and opportunities arise. And hence, with a better strength of the balance sheet, our ability to do trading should improve as time goes along.
Should we expect the trading business to become 40% of our revenue mix, as which was seen in last FY 16 and 17?
I honestly don't want to speculate on whether it should become 40% or whatever. These are again based on the prices and the margin opportunities that arise because of this. And I think you are also familiar with the fact that there is a capping on the MRPs. So a lot of things have to happen when you do these things, right? So one is the price at which you get the goods and the price at which you are able to sell the goods. So we will come to it based on the opportunities that exist in the market in terms of commercial opportunities.
Okay, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Kanil. Mr. Saha, do we have time to squeeze in the last couple of questions?
Please go ahead.
Aditya Jhawar. Aditya, please go ahead.
Yeah. So I want to understand, you said that from decal 7 or 6, we are coming to 5. So how much time or what is the engineering work we have done here? So I want to understand on the work, what Mangalore has done here. So is it easy for every company to bring down to this energy cost, or what challenges you have faced? I want to understand on this part.
Sure. It'll be very useful if we do this exercise at Mangalore for us to explain to you what this all entails. Otherwise, I'll have to take you through a formal diagram about what all this entails, right? I'll be more than happy to do it, but you're most welcome to come and visit Mangalore, which will give you a very very, very good insight into the strategic location, the area that we have for expansion, and the work that we have done and the opportunities that exist thereof.
Correct, correct. So how much time did it took, sir, for you to do this ammonia, this thing?
So we will commission, as I mentioned, from 1st of August. And see, there is a lead time for the manufacture and the receipt of items. There is a lead time for making sure that we can raise these structures. So the structural work and the receipt of items has taken anywhere from supplier to supplier between 6 months to a little over a year, right? So, and we have been challenged by COVID in between. So there have been times where we have had to make sure that we take into account those allowances that we have had to provide. But I think the work has carried on in full stream from the time we began this in July. So I think almost from July to July, you can assume that almost like a year's period to complete this exercise.
Okay, okay. So Mr. Murli has shown some figures, right, at the last of the presentation. So what was it regarding what, actually, I did not get the picture about what the project is, or CO2, some 10 to 12 diagrams he has shown, right? So what is the exact process or chemistry it was happening there?
I'm not clear about your question.
So at last, I'm asking about Mr. Murli has shown some pictures, right? So these are the works going on, the capex related to the plant. So exactly, are those related to ammonia plant, or it was?
They are only related to ammonia plant. So let me just explain. Okay. He had shown, the compressors, I mean, they are imported from Europe. If you look at some of the items that are manufactured locally, he had shown you some manufacturing of certain specific requirements for the ammonia energy project done in Praj. There is something on the heat exchanger that is done in Kelvion and Pune, and so on and so forth. And LNT also, the transfer main came from LNT at Hazira. So you were showing that these are items that have been manufactured and either ready to ship or shipped or receipted at our plant and erected. Right.
Okay.
So since we are almost ready to take a shutdown from 1st of June, you would imagine that we are at a very advanced stage of closing each of those areas that were required to make sure that we commission successfully on the 1st of August. I'm hoping that that would happen.
Correct, sir. Thank you, sir. It was helpful. Thank you so much.
If I'm right, Mr. Saha, you actually answered this question of the processes and the work that has gone on. It was a pictorial representation of everything that has been going on for almost a year to envisage getting off by 1st of August.
No, I my invitation to him still remains.
To add on, can I supplement, Naveen? Okay, to Aditya.
Yeah, sure, Mr. Murli. Please go ahead.
Aditya, this project, what we do is customized for our plant. So no standard, but standard package, which is being, anybody can do this. So it goes by the configuration of each area plant, and opportunities lies in the configuration design of the original commissioning. Okay. It is not a standard package we do. Okay. So we engage these the consultants who have studied the configuration, opportunities to reduce the cost. Based on that, it's been designed. Okay. It is not a standard package. Everybody can do that. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Great, sir. Great.
Thank you, Aditya. Okay, we have probably make it the last question for the evening. Varshab, please go ahead. Varshab Shah.
I have no more questions. Thank you.
Okay, I guess that was the last question for the evening. I hand over the webinar back to Mr. Saha for his closing remarks. So please.
Thank you, everyone, for participating and putting us through those questions. We'll be more than happy. And I think there is a request, I think, that has come. And I'm using that request to do the closing. Some of them want to understand and would come down to Bangalore. I would request both Bangalore and Mangalore are wonderful places to visit. I think Bangalore is excellent climate at this point in time from the weather that we have in most parts of the country. So more than welcome. We will certainly send you a timeline. At the same time, I'm also suggesting that we invite some of you or all of you, whoever wishes to visit at the successful commissioning of our project. We will announce the dates and maybe we could do a session, hopefully there itself in Mangalore for sharing what we have done. Thank you so much. And we hope that the scenario improves as a lot of you have expressed. And best wishes for a great Kharif season ahead.
Thank you very much. On behalf of all of us at SKP Securities, I'd like to thank Mr. Saha and Mr. Muralidharan for the time to interact with the investors. And we look forward to hosting you once again in the next quarterly webinar. Thank you and have a nice day.
Thank you all.
Thanks.